Let's pray, and I'm gonna give it another shot today, and it's tied in with Christmas. So if you will pray with me, Paul, my sermon is called The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. How many of us know the Lord's Prayer? Let's pray the King James Version together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Our trespass, and forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You see, the point is that it's his kingdom. It's his power. It's his glory. The Bible in the Old Testament says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. Sometimes we get it all mixed up. We think it's our kingdom. I remember one day I was reading an article in the paper about floor hockey. It was a nice picture. I think it was even a Chris Goldie. And she always talked about floor hockey. And I read the article, and there was no mention of Assembly of God. There was no mention of me or Paul. Even though I, for years, have been there opening the door and sure that it was floor hockey. But you see, it's not about me. It's not even about Assembly of God. It's all about him. It's all about him. How many says amen to that? So the kingdom points to a king. In Matthew chapter 2, there's a king, Herod. And he has a visit of three wise men. And they came from the east saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For Herod is the king of the Jews." In fact, he is a great king in the eyes of the world at the time. He had built great mansions, aqueducts, rebuilt the temple. He had military. He killed people at the whims. Even his own two sons he killed. The only wife he loved out of 11 wives, he killed her too. In the eyes of the world, he was powerful. But there in the midst of his rule, there was another king. Born in a stable. And he came with a message. I believe he came with several messages. But hang with me. There is a reason why he came in the stable as a king. You see, back then, the ones who was king was considered, they were created in the image of God, but everybody else wasn't. And so there was the king who was created in the image, and then there was down the more, you know, the rulers, and then there was the priest, and then there was slaves, and then there was women, and then there was children. And they were considered nothing. The poor was nobody. And there Jesus comes, being born to Mary, who was an ordinary woman who was just yielding to God. And she's born not in a palace, not in some kind of fancy place, but born in the stable. Because the King of Kings identified with the poor and the downtrodden. And he came with a message, and here's the message. Every one of you are created in the image of God. Amen. Now, where did God the Father demonstrate his kingdom, his power, and his glory? Well, if you read the scriptures, when Jesus started his ministry in Matthew chapter 3, he is baptized by John the Baptist. And as he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes on him. And he hears the voice of heaven, voice of the Father saying, "This is my Son whom I love and am well pleased with." How many remember that scripture? If you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, 17, sorry. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Let's read it together. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That voice came three times. It recorded three times. How did Jesus receive the glory and the honor? How? Through his Father. Through his Father. My friends, the way you step into his glory is by hearing the voice of the Father, who says, "I love you." And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to adopt you as his son and daughter. He sent his Holy Spirit in you, bearing witness with your spirit that you are son, that you are daughter. You see, when Herod heard that they were looking for the king of the Jews, he became troubled. He became very troubled because he was the king, and he became jealous. When you build your own kingdom, when you live out of your own power, you become jealous because it's all about you. But when you hear the voice of heaven saying to you, "You're my son, you're my daughter," you no longer live out what other people say about you. You live out of God's identity for you. Amen. The one place you step into his glory is by hearing his voice saying, "I love you. I have sent my son to redeem you because you are worthy, you are special." And when you get that in your spirit, you experience his glory. Because the Bible says, Christ in you. And what's the next line? Hope of glory. It's not your glory, it's his in you. Amen. Some of you are going to say to me, "Hans, what about sin? What about the cross?" And it's true. It is true that we all fall short of his glory. It is true that we all are wretched human beings apart from him. That we deserve his wrath. That's true. I mean, knows that's true. But when Jesus came, he said, "I took that wrath on me." You're created in the image of God, my friends. I mean, you read Genesis 1. And it's true that the sin has shattered the image. If you held a mirror in front of you, what do you see? You see the very people who are staring at you. You see a reflection of them staring at you. Okay, I should have a mirror here. If I took a mirror and I put it up to Holly, what would she see? She would see Holly, right? That's how a mirror works. Many of us have a scattered, shattered image because we are reflecting the people around me and what they have done to us. How many of those true? They're broken, they're beaten up because, and you reflect the culture and the people around you. But when Jesus walked on this earth, my friends, he never reflected the culture and the people around him. What did he do? He always knew that his calling was to bring glory to his Father. Amen. He says, I only do what I see the Father do. My words are not my own, they are my Father's. And when you see me, you see the Father. So here it is. My friends, you are to become stars reflecting the light of the sun. How many knows that's true? You are to become stars reflecting the light of the sun. And for that to happen, the mirror, the image, need to be healed. And you can't save yourself. You can't set us free from the past. But Jesus can. And that's why he went to that cross. It was to restore the image that had been damaged and destroyed and shattered. So that the glory of God can be seen in you. I mean, it says amen to that. God is good. So Jesus says to his disciples, I want to give you power. And he said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Until you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And he says, the power is going to come on you. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. The very power that the Father bestowed upon his Son, that very power is also been given to you. Not for your glory, not for your kingdom, but for his. How many says amen to that? The Holy Spirit comes in you to change you, to be a witness in character, witness in faith, witness in your actions. So when people see you, they see a piece of Jesus. Amen? How many believe that's true? On the cross, Jesus made that possible. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says that the veil has been removed. And behold, no, that's not it. First Corinthians 3:18. There we go. It's coming. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. How many has the Holy Spirit in you, changing you, becoming a mirror reflecting his image? Amen. So I listened to this man's testimony. He was a Muslim in Iran. He grew up learning to memorize the Quran, praying five times a day. And went to a school where they taught how to serve Muhammad. And Islam was everything to him. But then he, as a teenager, lost his dad. He lost his education. And he began to doubt Islam. He got into a spiritual crisis. And one day he was sitting in his room and he had one of those remote controls satellites. He said, you're not supposed to have satellite dishes in Iran, but 80 million people have them, so they can't arrest everybody. So he said he went and flicked, and he came on, and it was on a Christian channel. And he heard the message of the gospel. It said, Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. And he rose again, that through faith in him, you can have eternal life. And he turned it off, because he had been taught that Jesus is not divine, and he didn't die on the cross. Then he became depressed, and he became suicidal. In fact, he went to the doctor, and the doctor says, you're under too much stress. He then flicked on the TV again. And then he heard the gospel again. And again he heard that Jesus was divine, and that he died on the cross to take the sins and the past away. And God the Father loved him so much that he did it for him. And he bowed down that night at his bed and asked Jesus to forgive him and come into his life. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and at the same time he was saved. And he got on fire for Jesus. How many likes to be on fire for Jesus? And then his mother was dying of cancer, a devout Muslim. And he went, and he had read in the Bible that you can pray for the sick. He put his hand on his sick, dying mom. And he prayed in the name of Jesus. And she was instantly healed. And she got saved. Now he shares that in Iran, if you become a Christian, the secret police like to follow you. And if they catch you, they'll put you in jail and torture you. He said it's risky to be a Christian. He said they put stuff on the windows and doors so that other people can't hear them sing. Because if other people hear them sing, they can be charged. But he got stabbed. He was persecuted. He realized he had to get out of the country. And through UN, he got a ticket to the United States as a refugee. On the plane, hear me, on the plane, God speaks to him and says, be careful. And he said, it's amazing, now I'm going to the United States, apparently a Christian country, and God said, be careful. He said, I have walked the street in Iran and in Turkey, not knowing if I was going to live through the day because somebody might kill me or put me in jail. And there, on the plane to the United States, God says, be careful. Do you know why he said be careful? Because Christianity in North America is very lukewarm. When it snows too much, nobody shows up. When there's a hockey game, there's nobody shows up. When there's more than an hour service, people roll their eyes. He says in Iran, church and Christ is all we have. Women will walk for hours in the snow with babies on their arms just to come to church. In North America, many of us are so well off, we couldn't even be bothered. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to all the ones who are not here. I'm just kidding. How many knows there's the truth to that? God was saying, be careful because you might lose your fire. You might lose your fire. And you see, when the fire is lost, there is no image. The light behind the glass is going very dim, and it's hard to see the image of God until it finally flickers and it goes out. I don't have to tell you what God thinks about that, but just go ahead and read Revelations chapter 2 and 3. Amen? So my prayer for me is that the fire for this new year will be fanned up. And I'm not going tired in well-doing, in being a witness to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has brought me into an eternal relationship with Him. Not because of anything I have done, but because of everything he did 2,000 years ago. That, my friend, is the gospel. And that's why at the end of the Lord's Prayer, I can truly say it is his kingdom. It is his power. It is his glory. Because it wasn't mine. I was lost in the hills. Hillbilly. In fact, some locals thought I was a hippie out there smoking pot. I never did that, but God knew that I needed him. How many knows that God didn't need God? You can't do this on your own. It's his grace and by his mercy that I stand here. And I know some of you, it's by his grace and by his mercy that you're sitting here. Amen. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Hey, that's a short message.